Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your sweet family and gave me no hope that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's them that I reach for, that hand I know is always there. And finding He still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's them that I reach for, that hang I know is always there. And finding He still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven there, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord.
I was thinking yesterday here, I wish, really, I truly wish everybody on earth would have it as good as you and I have it. And we have it so good simply because we put the Lord first. Mm-hmm. There was a day when we didn't, but there was a day when we did. And man, a living. We have no problems, no issues. Finance, are all, everything is taken care of if you put the Lord first. And it's just kind of sad to see a world that don't give the Lord a chance. Everything the Lord does, everything is for our benefit. Yeah, you're going to go through your trial. You're going to be ousted. That's all right. But in it all, just don't be ashamed of Christ. That's all. As my Lord walked to Calvary, there was no beauty in that scene. He was bruised and put to shame there, as the crowd that cheered and screamed. It wasn't His fault nor the things He'd done, but for my sin He stood condemned. Now how could I be ashamed of Him? How could I be ashamed of the side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of the mocking crown that He wore? No, He had every reason to be ashamed of me. I could never be ashamed of Him. Now He's the same Lord today with His nail-pierced feet. And there's no beauty that this old world desires, and His holy word they won't keep. But I'll take him and the scorn I'll bear till my journey is complete. But I could never be ashamed of him. How could I be ashamed up that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed up that the mocking crown that he wore? Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. Now he's the same Lord today, with his nail-pierced feet, and there's no beauty to his old world desire, and his holy word they won't keep. But I'll take him and the scorn I'll bear till my journey is complete. 'Cause I could never be ashamed of him. How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that the mocking crown that he wore? No, he had every reason to be ashamed of me. I could never be ashamed of him. No, he had every reason to be ashamed of me. I could never be ashamed of him. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in his presence. Nothing else matters. Worship his name. Adore him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in his presence. Nothing else matters. Worship his name. Adore him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's why we gather here in his presence. Nothing else matters. Worship his name. Adore him with praise. Right here and now, our hearts are bound. Let's just love Jesus. Es el glänzend von ferne ein Land. Unser Glaubens Balkanes Rose, und von Jesus gefehlt bei der Hand, wird sein Volk dort in Frieden eingehen. Bald ja, bald, Luigi, werden wir auch durch Balja Maluische, werden wir auch dort jubeln gehen. Dort singt alles in Wonne und Glück, jauchzet selig den Heiland Jesu. Alle Sorgen, die weihen zurück. Dort ist himmlische ewige Ruhe. Bald ja, bald, Luigi, werden wir auch nur jubeln gehen. Bald ja, bald,
Day and flop on den heiligen Geist, in Anbetung vor Gottes Altar, seine Liebe in Sonne und Kraft, bald ja bald, o ich hier, day and flam von den heiligen Gott, ein Anbetung vor Gottes Altar, seine Liebe im Sonne und Kreis, bald ja bald, bald ja bald, du ich in werden wir, auch dort jubeln gehen.
How great is our God, how great is His word, He's the greatest one that ever was heard. Hear all that the water of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. When I consider the works of my God, the moon and the stars, the path that He trod, the sheep and the oxen, the beast of the field, all of these wonders makes me know that He's real. How great is our God, how great is His word, He's the greatest name that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters up the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. He used our prophet in many a way to show forth His greatness, and in our way He never changes. He's always the same. So worship and praise Him and love His dear name. How great is our God, how great is His word, He's the greatest name that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. He used our prophet in many a way to show forth His greatness, and in our day He never changes. He's always the same. To worship and praise Him and love His dear name. How great is our God, how great is His word, He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters up the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I will lead you, put your trust in me.
Tell you, God is not boring. Mm-hmm. He's always moving on. Mm-hmm. Always something new.
Right.
to love it. But you got to be totally committed. He has sounded forth the trumpet that will never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching out. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Here's truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Here's truth. Marching on. That's just the way it is. Whether you like it or not, that is that. It's here. Brother Branham was here. That was eternal life. Mm-hmm. That was movement. And if you were on board, that you were part of that eternal life. Mm-hmm. That channel. That Jesus said, I say it over and over again, but I have to keep saying it over again because I didn't see it this morning when I got up. I see it so crystal clear. How important it is when Jesus said before he went to Calvary, this is going to be eternal life that they believe in them and I will send. And then like I said over and over again, he sent, and back in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, he sent these angels, these seven stars that John held in his right hand, and I'm going to take the flip side. This is not going to be eternal life if you do not believe those angels that John had the seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand, and then he went on to explain the seven stars that you saw in my right hand. They are the seven angels to the church ages throughout the grace age. It's just that simple. And anything outside of that will take you out to hell and death, because Jesus knows that we have an adversary here on earth. We got the prince of this world, which is Satan. And anything outside of that channel, it's so crystal clear. I saw it this morning, so crystal clear that I'm gonna say it. This is eternal life that they believe in them, and I will say. And then throughout the early church, he sent that angel, and that angel linked up with the Apostle Paul. Because Paul said, my angel is always before me. He, that angel, is the one that gave Paul these tremendous revelations. He took us back into Ephesians 1, and he took us way back before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1, when God had himself a council, and he made a blueprint. Only an angelic being could do that, but he took the vocal cords of the Apostle Paul, and then back in the day, that angel didn't speak to all the rest of the people. He only spoke, spoke to the apostles and all that, to that. But go to the Gentiles now. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. So he's not talking about the Jewish race back then. Peter was sent to the Jews, and these people were Jewish apostles. But Paul was ordained and set aside apostle to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, if they believed what Paul said, they had eternal life. And that first church age there, the first 100 years, that whole European world was Christianized. Mm-hmm. And nobody, they didn't have a problem because Satan had not yet infiltrated. That's why it's so important to believe that the message that I will send, to believe on them whom God will send. And then, like I say, then he sent that angel, and then that angel linked up with the Apostle Paul. Well, Apostle Paul didn't live forever. He died in early on, and then 123 or somewhere around there, That second church age angel came. And that second church age angel, he linked up with the vocal cords of Irenaeus. You can go back, you can get on your computer, and you can get the teachings of Irenaeus, how he fought. See, these Antichrist slowly came in, and now Irenaeus, he had a fight with his Antichrist. You can read it in his writings. You can go back on the computer and read what the Irenaeus had to put up with, and then he was that church messenger, and that angel simply took the vocal cords of Irenaeus, and Irenaeus, the reason he used Irenaeus was unmovable. He stood with the Godhead. He stood with that, was one God, one faith, one baptism, and Irenaeus had to fight that Trinity doctrine. And mm-hmm. then along, and that lasted so many years, and then along came Martin. And you can read about the writings of Martin. There was a time that the devil was so, Martin was so under attack from the devil that he literally saw him one day, and he had to throw his ink bottle at him, and he was so visible. And then one day this angel came to him, it looked like an angel to Martin, and the angel said, "Martin, I'm the Lord. I'm your Lord and Savior." Fall down and worship me. See, that's the devil for you. And he looked at him. Oh, man, he was beautiful and everything. And then he had a crown on his head. Mm-hmm. And then Martin looked at him, and he was intrigued with fall down and worship. He always believed it. But then he realized the word says the saints will crown him when he comes back, you know. And he told him that. And the devil had to leave. Because he tried over time to get into the mind and into the heart of Martin. It wasn't Martin Luther, it was that other Martin.
Yeah.
And so much, like I said, one day he was printing, he did a lot of writing, and the devil showed up, and he was standing over in the corner and threw his ink bottle at him. Well, of course he didn't hit him, but he hit the wall with that ink bottle. But that's how real he was through these early Christians. And this is going to be eternal death to believe in them. And there it was. These people that followed Martin, they were persecuted. They were burned at the stake, and they did exactly what they did back in the early church, back in the end to the Christians there. And burned them at the stake. And then after Martin, in comes Columbo. I think it was Columbo, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
In comes Columbo. Columbo, he lasted for 1,000 years. His ministry, we left for
dark. He was during the Dark Ages.
Yeah, he was the Dark Ages, throughout the Dark Ages, where that woman came in with that bread and changed the whole concept of Christianity. And now, from now on, you buy a Christianity. It's no more what it was before. Now they sold the Word of God for money, the Catholic Church did. And in that Dark Age hour, the Lord gave the Catholic Church a space to repent, and then they repented not. He was willing to forgive them for all their atrocities that they did, and that they repented not, and then they're still here today. And then after Martin, or after Columbo, and came 1520, and came Martin Luther, and the people that simply believed what Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith, they had eternal life. And that kept on going until John Wesley came on the scene. And one of the most important church age messenger was Martin Luther, because he completely brought the whole European world out of Roman Catholicism. But Satan doesn't take things lightly. Mm-hmm. He puts up a fight, and he sat back and he saw what Martin Luther did. He put that papal system completely out of commission, that Napoleon 100 years later and so on, he threw him in prison, that Pope, and then that Pope died in prison. But see what Martin Luther did? He dealt that whole Roman Catholic Church a deadly wound, and that's what Martin Luther did.
And the historians, they will write that it was dead, and there was nothing that nobody could do about it, you know. Right now you can see it has revived itself. Like you can see it in the book of Revelation, that it talks that deadly wound was healed. Like at the Reformation, it was dealt a deadly wound. And then you can see that in this end time here now, it's been healed. And you see how it's like it's flourishing. Roman Catholicism, you can see throughout the countries how Roman Catholicism has taken over.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to Martin Luther, see, like I say, Satan, he's not going to take that sitting down. Now, yeah, that Pope is out of commission, but Satan is not out of commission. Now he's going to come up with a different technique. And what does he do? He gets a hold of these people that were brought up in the Catholic Church, people like Peter Riedemann, people like Andreas Ehrenbreit, people like Zwingli, and people like Jakob Luther, and he uses these thugs, these antichrists, and to downplay what Martin Luther brought. Martin Luther brought the just to live by faith. But here comes Jakob Luther with a completely different program, that in order to be a Christian now, in order to have eternal life, you've got to live in a community style living. And see how the devil does. And I keep saying it to these Hutterites, that thing is not of God. It's of the devil because it was infiltrated by these antichrists. I've seen it so crystal clear again today how important it is to hang on to the seven church age messenger, and anything outside of that is going to take you out to hell and death because Satan, he cannot take it sitting down. He's not asleep. He's wide awake, and he goes around the house of God seeking whom he may devour. And when Martin Luther did his thing, put him out of commission, he was sitting back and he was devising another plan. He's always working. He's always looking where he can find, make trouble. And then, sure, he came on with something so holy and so righteous, like that Zwingli guy. He combated Martin Luther right to the end. But see, Martin Luther was that church age messenger back in the church age of Sardis. He was that chapter where Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life. Those people under Zwingli, they didn't have eternal life. It's just that simple. Jesus said, this is going to be eternal, that they believe on them whom I will send. And he sent an angel, and then the angel spoke to the vocal courts of Martin Luther back in the 1520s. And that's simple. Anything outside of these other tugs, these other troublemakers, they were, if you were living back then, you would think that Jakob Luther and Zwingli, they were a lot more holier than Martin Luther ever thought of being, because you get these antichrists. An antichrist, he is going to come up with a program that is so much superior to what Martin Luther had, just to live by faith. And oh man, and see what you got now, the result of it all is these colonies all over the world, you know, these communities, because the devil, he took that and he hijacked it, and he made a religion out of it.
That's right, and that's really when you will look out at it, what that antichrist spirit does, it takes the focus away from what Jesus did at Calvary, and he builds on something outside of that. And people are so deceived, they think it's really something, because that is what that antichrist spirit brings with it. You know, something where you could be holier than thou.
Yeah.
You know, something that where you could really be portrayed as you are a holy, righteous person. And it takes away what Jesus did at Calvary and the fact that we are sinners, shaped in iniquity, come into this world speaking lies, nothing at all. And then Jesus came along and gave us life. And here comes these people, they divert people away from that. When you will analyze it, that's really what it is, taking away what Jesus did for us at Calvary.
Amen to that. Where's that scripture? We're going to talk about that. The flip side of those that will be found worthy. You know, that one is kind of continue on. Those that will be found worthy to go into that millennial rain. And Jesus was asked what's going to happen. What I want to do is I want to go to the flip side of those people that are not ready to go into the millennium. Well, where are they going to go? These here, this is the millennium here. And we talked about the righteous reign of the branch. The righteous reign of the branch. We're just trying to tell you what's going to happen to those that are worthy to go into that millennial reign. These here, Isaiah 11, explains what the millennium is all about. The wolf and the lion, and everything is friendly. The animals are not wild anymore, and nothing will hurt on my holy mount. It once you make a desire. But the worst that I don't want from what I'm trying to do now.
Luke 20:35.
Just taking the flip side. Now, we're talking about these people that will overcome, that will be found worthy to go into that age of regeneration. See, they were trying to catch Jesus with questions and trying to find fault with him. And so here comes Jesus, and Jesus said to them, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are regarded as worthy to share in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." I'll take the King James. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither shall marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection." And I'll see if I can bring it out in German. "Und Jesus antwortete und sprach zu ihnen, Die Kinder dieser Welt freien und lassen sich freien, welche aber würdig sein werden, jene Welt zu erlangen und die Auferstehung von den Toten, die werden freien, wir werden weder freien noch sich freien lassen." And I'm trying to get to those that will be found worthy. They're going into that millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the other ones that are not? You got to find a flip side of the other one. Only those that are found worthy. Now, what happens to those that are not found worthy? Nobody ever talks about the people that are not found worthy. Like I say, keep seeing and bringing it out. There's only two places. Once you die, there's a heaven and there's a hell. Now, we talked about it for the last 2-3 days, about those that are worthy. They're going to go into that heavenly realm. They're going into that rapture, and then they're coming back to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ and to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's those that are found worthy. And you can find it in the Bible. Who are those that are found worthy? They live by the word of God. Now, those that are found not worthy, well, just that simple. There's only two places.
Mm-hmm.
"So I ought to men shall do for thee, divide the leaves of heaven." And those that are not worthy, they are going to hell. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just read your word here. We just pray to give us the grace to expound on it and to bring it out into today's language. To zoom everything into the day. It's not a historic word. The Bible has been for all time, for all sake. And Lord, we just ask for grace to be able to explain it and expound it on it the way it's supposed to be understood in the hour that we're now living in. It's just as valid as it was back then, Lord. But we have to bring it in today's language. So Lord, we just pray you give us the wisdom exactly how to execute it and open the hearts of the people that they see how real and how serious it is. Just because we talk about these tugs and these preachers and these false teachers, it doesn't mean that we hate them. We hate that spirit, that the spirit of deception that has deceived them, Lord. We pray for those people that you'll open up their understanding and that they'll be able to see the reality of the matter, Lord, before it's too late, before they go out and find themselves on the wrong side of the fence, like many do, like the rich man, Lord, and found himself on the wrong side. He thought he's going to go to heaven, but and hell, he opened up his eyes. And here it's the same thing. There's people out here that this very day that are thinking they're living in the commune, and they think they're going to heaven. Lord, mm-hmm. they're being deceived. They're being duped. And we just ask for grace to be able to bring it out the way you want it brought up. We pray, Lord, to get that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about the flip side. There's a right side and there's the flip side. The flip side, it is just like I keep saying, it was back in the days of Hosea, he was that boy for the people back in that hour, and God anointed Hosea to bring a message to the Israeli people back then. And they rejected him, but then Hosea came out and said, because you have rejected me, I will reject you, that you will be no more priest before me, and I will forget your children. So when I take the flip side of it, if you're going to accept what Hosea had to say back in that hour, I'm going to make see to it that you will be priest before me, and I will remember your children. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing today. You got to take this side, and you got to take the flip side. See, you and I, we heard about God sending a prophet, and we embraced it with a passion. We accepted that we did exactly what Hosea said, and those people in his hour, we did not reject it. We found out that God sent a prophet, and by doing that, God will remember our children, and by doing that, we have eternal life, because we're believing that Brother Branham, he was the voice of that angel to the church in Laodicea. And people in that hour, prior to 65, they that believed it, they went on board with it, they went on the bandwagon, they went on that wagon, and that road to glory. Prior to 1965, the Lord took that prophet, the Lord took Brother Branham, and he took him in the regions beyond, and here, God already had a man set up and starting to run that race with a leather horse, and here was Raymond M. Jackson. And then Raymond M. Jackson, he was now, this is eternal life that believe on back in the Brother Brent. This is eternal life that believe in Brother Brent. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing it down to today's language. Mm-hmm. It was still that angel, but that angel took the vocal cords of Brother Branham. And then he died. What that angel did, now he's taken the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jackson. It's no more the ministry of Brother Branham. Now Brother Branham is gone. Now here comes Brother Jack. Now those that are sitting under the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson back after Brother Branham left, they had eternal life. This is eternal life that they believe in Brother Jackson. And that went on until 2004. That's when Brother Jackson's ministry ceased. But it's still that angel. It was that angel that spoke to Brother Jackson. He brought out, that's stuff that he brought out. He went right back into the prehistoric, mm-hmm. because he was the only man that could do that. Mm-hmm. Because he knew how the breeding and the structure. He took us way back. Where the angels were tested, mm-hmm. like testing and fall of Satan. Oh man, I just love it. I spent 10 years engulfing myself, do exactly what it says over in the book of Malachi. They'll go in and out like fetid calves, you know. Mm-hmm. That's spiritually speaking. Now, you and I, we're like those fetid calves. We were fed so spiritually from the ministry of Brother Jackson up until 2004, and then. And then God took Brother Jackson off the scene. Now things are going on. There's turmoil in the camp. And we just thought that it's going to continue just exactly the way it was before. Alan and Bud, they're going to continue with the program. But as we sat back and we watched it, here comes Alan out. We're in the third day. We looked up to him and we wanted him to continue on with the program. But then... after a year or so, we found out he's not teaching. He's saying we're in the third day. He's teaching. He's all of a sudden, see what happened when Brother Jackson was here. These antichrists, they couldn't come in. Mm-hmm. But they were waiting until he goes off the scene. And I tell you what, they came in like a flood. And here comes these antichrists, and they take hold of Jan Salad, and here he comes out, and so smooth, after 2 days, and finally comes out, we're the third day. Wow, that's when you and I, we jumped off that ship. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to have nothing to do with it, because we didn't know what's going on, but we knew one thing, we were not in the third day. And then along comes the other group, then they split, and along comes the other group, we're after 2 days. See how subtle Satan does?
Yeah.
He sits back, he waits till Brother Jack. As long as Brother Jack's was there, these tugs, they could not come in to pervert it. Because he'd have put that thing to rest. He'd have gone into the ring and he'd have had a knockout like he did with Strowman and with Tim McKay. He completely knocked them out and he put them out of the church. That's what Brother Jackson did. And then here comes Allah, we're in the third day because these antichrists have gotten a hold of him then. And then here comes Saffner out with, oh, we're after 2 days. And we were sitting there, we were getting confused, what's going on here? We decided we're not listening to them anymore. And then what the Lord was really doing, he was testing to see who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had found faithful with the word of God,
mm-hmm.
faithful to continue on with the program, and here he finds you and me faithful. We didn't even know what's going on. We just know we cannot go along with that third day thing, and we cannot go along with it after 2 day thing. We cannot fellowship with those people. We cannot have nothing to do with them, and we made our exit route.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like I say, we didn't know what's going on. Anyway, I sure didn't. And here, lo and behold, and the Lord got us to start up this movement here, this website. And now here, back then, this is the eternal life that believe on Brother Branham. Just that simple. It was that one. But 65 it goes on. This is the eternal life that they believe on Brother Jackson. And the Branhamites, they're left out in the cold. I don't care how many there are and how well they mean it. They did not come under the ministry of Brother Jackson. That Eddie Biscoe, he was just another Yakabut, he was just another Zwingli, making sure people did not come to the understanding that Brother Jackson is now that man that continues on from Brother Branham. He's now the voice of that angel, and he continues on. Then when Brother Jackson left the scene, God was checking everybody out, and he was looking for somebody that he could trust, and he found you and I faithful and true to the Word of God. Not that there's any virtue and any justice and any righteousness in us, but see, that's how God orchestrates his whole thing. And now, it's no more, this is eternal life that believe in Brother Branham. It's no more, this is eternal life that they believe in Brother Jackson. Now, it's this eternal life that believe in Sam and Lorraine. I saw it this morning. When I came out of bed, just as clear as crystal, this is eternal life, and all you gotta do is come and sit under it and believe what we're saying. This is going to be that they believe of them whom I will send, and he sent these angels, and then these angels take the word. The things that we're saying, they are not our word. These things that you and I are saying, they are the voice of that angel, and if you come on board, you will have all the luxuries of that heavenly thing, and eventually what's going to happen, if you can only get yourself to believe what we're saying, somehow or other, God will see to it that you'll end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple. I don't know. I've seen it today. I've seen it, Shalom. I've been seeing it for a long time, but I didn't have to. The bravery, I guess, to put it out there and say it, but today I can say it because I know I got it from the Lord. This is eternal life that believe in Samuel Lorraine. Just that simple. There's anything outside of that channel, that Leonard's program, it's not going to give you eternal life because he's not interconnected with these seven stars. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even believe it. I tried to tell him about God sending a prophet. Oh, you got till sundown to get out of here. You're not going to poison us. Well, if you don't want the truth, well, there you go. He's got nothing in that. And then Arnold from Makeda, he's got even less. We're not truthing our own. We're just putting out the program that God had established before the foundation of the world. This is going to be eternal life that they believe in them and my brother. And we're just doing the tail end of the grace age. This is the final chapter. From here, it goes into something else. I don't know how you see it, but that's exactly what I saw this morning. Mm-hmm.
See, we're the only ones that are really continuing on from Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, because when all this confusion started with these false teaching coming out, we're in the third day, we're after 2 days, the Lord spoke to me. He said, continue thou in the things that you have been taught, and withdraw yourself from those that do not hold on to the doctrines. And see, those things were established, you know. We're not in the third day. We know what the third day is, and we're not after 2 days, because after 2 days doesn't give you anything. Mm-hmm. Where are you then if you're in after 2 days? It has no logic behind it, you know. And what the truth does, when a person is really hungry and searches for something, just like Martin Luther, when he came across that treasure, when he found that treasure, he sold all that he had accumulated, and he bought that field that where that treasure was on, that just shall live by faith. That's what he pursued. See, he had found it. The same way with John Wesley, when he found that pearl of great price. He didn't care for anything else, but he pursued that pearl of great price. And that's what the truth does to a person. See, when the Lord saved me when I was 21, that was great, you know, when the Lord saved me. But it wasn't until I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson where my soul, my spirit said, I found it. I found it. Just like when back in the days of Jesus, when they said, when Philip came to his to Nathanael, and he said to him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Mm-hmm. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See, they found him who they were looking for. See, they knew they were looking for a Messiah, but they didn't know who it was. It wasn't until Nathanael came to Philip. Philip came to Nathanael and told him, you know what, we found him. So they went to see Jesus. See, something in them spoke and said, this is the one. That's how it worked with me when I came to the message of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. Something within me, because I was searching for something. I did not know what it was, but it was the truth for our day and hour. Mm-hmm. It was the message that God had for our generation. And the message was in the Laodicea church age was to get back to the Word of God. And that's what I found. I have found it. I finally, my soul and my spirit, when I came to the ministry of Brother Jackson, it said, I have found what I was looking for. And I needed no longer to search for it, because my soul, my spirit found it. Because I read all kinds of books, just like Martin Luther. He was taught in the Bible. He knew the Bible. But there was something that was lacking until God shined a revelation on the just shall live by faith. That's when he knew he had it. And that's the same way it would work with me. And the same way when people will believe what we're saying, truly, really believe, first of all, a person has to be thirsty. Just like it says in the book of Revelation, he that is athirst. First of all, a person has to be thirsty and hungry for the things of God. That's when something within you will continually be searching for that real thing. And when you will come to it, your soul and spirit will say, I found it. And that we're continuing on from Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, from that channel that God had within the Laodicea church hour. And we are the only ones that can put the picture together for people. I know there's the Brenhamite movement. They stopped right where Brother Brenham, where God took Brother Brenham off the scene. Mm-hmm. That's where they stopped, dead in their tracks. They did not move beyond that. See, the song says, the truth is marching on. God marched on, and he used Brother Jackson to march on the truth. And the same way when Brother Jackson went off the scene, God used a vessel to march on. And the Lord let us know what happened after Brother Jackson left the scene, how all these confusion came in, and that we are to continue on in the things that we have been taught. And that's what we did. We continue it on with God, and that's how the truth keeps marching on. You can go look for it in the Brenhamite movement. You're not going to find it. The Brenhamite movement stopped when God took Brother Brenham off the scene. You can find it, try to find it in the movement of where God moved on, when God moved on with Brother Jackson. When God took Brother Jackson off the scene, that angel moved on. It didn't stop. And he continued that work with us here to bring out the truth for our day and hour.
Amen to that. That's the only place you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm trying to give you the picture of the flip side of those people that are not ready, that are not qualified, those people that are not going to be going into that age of regeneration. There's a flip side to it. They're going to hell. We took a drive one day, and here they had a funeral for that Paul from Rose Bank Colony. And all these people, there were a lot of people, and they were convinced, all these people, that man, when he died, he's going to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. But see, he's not meeting the qualification from this is going to be eternal. He did not even believe that God sent the prophet. Mm-hmm. So how can he qualify to be in that number? He's not qualified by that. So he's only got one other place to go. He's off to hell at that. And then he's down in hell. He is now screaming his head off, wishing and hoping, just like that rich man. That rich man, you can just read about it over in Luke. When he was here on earth, he thought he ducks automatically in heaven because he'd been blessed with wealth and well-being. But in hell, he opened up his eyes, and in reality, sank in and ahead of him. He's on the wrong side of the fence. The same with that Paul from Rosebank Hall. He's on the wrong side of the fence, and now he's down there lamenting, wishing and hoping, and he's screaming out, I wish somebody would go back and tell my family I'm on the wrong place. I wish somebody would go back and tell them that's the only passion that rich man had when he went. They told Abraham, send somebody back in my father's house. Send Lazarus back in my father's house. And tell these people I'm in the wrong place. And they're heading down that same path, the same direction. And oh, that Paul from Rosebank and all these people, they're screaming and hollering, wishing and hoping somebody would go back and tell their family and their friends that day is on the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And we did have a man come back from the dead to tell us. That boss from Forest River Colony came back, and he told the Hutterites he drove around for 3 years after the Lord gave him an out-of-the-body experience. And he came back and he told the people, I'm in the wrong place. God give him grace. And he went, that Hutterite thing is just nothing but major deception. We're going the wrong direction. But he couldn't convince anybody. And I heard him. I seen his lips move. He came to our house and he told us, down there's something out there someplace. Well, I took the challenge and I went, I found it. The ministry of Brother Brenham. And then when he goes off the scene, it was the ministry of Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. And when he goes on the scene, the Lord found you and I people to continue on with the program. And now all we're telling is exactly what that Paul down in hell is screaming and hollering, wishing somebody would go back and tell his brother Eli, and his brother-in-law Leonard, and his brother-in-law Carl, and all his family, all he wants. He does not want them to come to that place of destruction, that place of hell. And he's wishing and hoping somebody would tell. Well, you and I were telling them. Mm-hmm. We've been telling them that for years. But see, they don't want to hear. But we're still telling them anyway. He's not on a good place. He is not going. He did not meet the qualification to go into that age of regeneration. So there's only one place to go. He's going over into hell, and then he goes into hell, and hell, for thousands of years, Paul, he's going to be down in hell, being tormented for 1,000 years. And after the millennium, hell and death will be thrown into that lake of fire, and in that lake of fire, the soul and the body will be destroyed in that lake of fire. And after that, I don't know how long they'll be in that lake of fire. Maybe thousands of years. I don't know. But eventually, that lake of fire destroyed the body and the soul and hell. There's going to be no more memory of them like they were never even been. And then once that soul and that body is destroyed, there's that spirit, because we're made up of three parts. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And then that spirit, when it's purified, it simply goes back to God and mm-hmm. gave it, because that spirit is eternal. And like I say, that lake of fire, that separates the body and the soul from the spirit, and the spirit, once it's purified, goes back to God and gave it. That's the only thing that these preachers and these colleagues, that Eli got to look forward. If he does not repent and he does not come on and believe what we're trying to tell him here, he's all going to be one of these people that's going to go to hell. And then in hell, he's going to be 1,000 years in torment. And then after the great white throne judgment, God sets out and he tells people exactly how long they're going to be in that lake of fire to be destroyed. It's just you got nothing more, nothing to look forward to. That's why we're beating our drums here forever and a day trying to warn people. We put all our resources, every penny that we have, goes into warning people about the judgment that's coming just up the road here. And all you got to get out of that, all you got to do is believe what you and I are saying, because we're just continuing on from that angel. It's really that angel that's doing it, but he found our vocal cord, and all we're doing, we're bringing it out in today's language so people can understand and take warning of what we're trying to say here. We got nothing else to say. We're just warning people, if you accept it, you will end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you won't have to go to this hell and to the judgment that's coming. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Right, Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We give you thanks, Lord. We just want to help people to understand that there is also the other side. Those that will be found worthy to go into that millennial reign, Lord. There's also the other side, those that will not be found worthy. So we just pray, Lord, that you'll help people to reevaluate their lives, to see if there's anything in their lives, and that they repent, Lord, and give you the glory, Lord, so that you can move them from that place of condemnation, Lord. There's a lot of people that need to repent, Lord, of their evil ways, just like it says in the book of Revelation, there's people that do not repent of their sorceries, Lord. And that's really what it boils down to. When they worship these religions, that is really sorceries that they're worshiping, Lord. So we just pray for people that you'll give them that repenting heart, Lord, so that they can analyze and reevaluate their lives and repent of their ways. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.